Hello and welcome. You are listening to the 1% Christian. I'm Pastor J. D'Ambrosio, and this is the daily Bible study where we take 1% of our day, we dive into God's Word, we pray, we focus on Him, and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. We are going through John chapter 7 today. We started yesterday in John 7, and if by chance you didn't catch it because I put the stream on a little bit later than usual, I hope you go back and give it a listen. Totally a what we call in the technical world an ID10T error on my end. The stream was on Facebook, though, so you could always catch it there. But if you are listening to this on anywhere that you get podcasts, please give a like, a share, a follow, subscribe, put the little notifications on. This way you can get pinged when a new episode comes on. And we do this every single day. We're going through the end of the Gospel of John, and then we'll see where it goes from there. I've gotten quite a few requests for it to continue, so prayerfully considering that as well. I also want to encourage you to download the Sound of Heaven app. Go to soh.church. You can go to the Apple or the Android store. There's a free digital Bible on there, along with a ton of other great resources. So let's recap John chapter 7 so far, and really what we're seeing is the escalation of the environment around Jesus. Many people are starting to take notice to what he's doing, and I know we've been saying that over and over again, but we're really starting to see now it go beyond the signs and wonders in a sense, and people being somewhat divided as to who he is. Now, we already know how the chief priests feel. They are not happy with him at all. They're mad that he's healing on the Sabbath. They're mad that he's teaching things in a way that maybe is drawing attention away from them. He's if he is claiming to be the Messiah, which they're debating, he's not the type of Messiah that they would like. Even Jesus' own brothers, if you remember from the beginning of chapter 7 yesterday, are mocking him a bit. They're saying, if you are who you say you are, go down into the festival. And Jesus doesn't want to go into the festival because he knows that they're trying to kill him. So with that, what we pulled from yesterday is that Jesus uses a cautious wisdom. He's not afraid, but he knows the intentions of the people around him. So he's being smart. He's not being hasty to rush in. He's not succumbing to the pressure of everybody around them. And even Jesus's brothers say, well, anybody who wants to be a public figure should go and show themselves. And we know that Jesus wasn't trying to be a celebrity. He was here to save the world, to save your soul, my soul, and their souls, bring on the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus finally does make it down there to the festival. And we see, we'll just start from yesterday a little bit, verse 14. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? They whispered in the crowd, he's a good man. He's a deceiver. He's this, he's that, and from a distance. But when they drew in and got close to Jesus, they realized, wow. This person is different. So let's continue with verse 16. Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. So he's saying, pursue God. Now remember, if we pursue God, we find Jesus. Next verse. Whoever speaks on their own does it so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. So why are you trying to kill me? I want to back up real quick. He says, my teaching is not my own. They are attacking Jesus personally because they cannot refute what is coming out of his mouth. There are times in Scripture where he speaks to the Pharisees and it says that they are speechless, right? His wisdom is so much so they have nothing to say. But you could always tell when somebody loses an argument when they get off the subject itself and they start attacking character. Once that happens, I'm out. Because then it's not a discussion, it's an argument. You know the difference between a discussion and an argument? A discussion is about what is right. An argument is about who is right. And I don't really try to get involved in part two. I like having good, honest discussions, okay? Jesus says, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth, right? We always should point to God, because if we point to ourselves, eventually we're going to let people down. We're imperfect. I always bring up my first spiritual dad, my mentor, Pastor Seven Wells. He would say, Jason, I'm not perfect, but I can point you to the one who is. And then he points out here, he says, none of you keep the law. Why are you trying to kill me? Almost like, look in the mirror, guys. And then they say, you're demon-possessed, the crowd answered. Who's trying to kill you? Now, it's interesting because they absolutely were. Verse 21, Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you are amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. So he's pointing back to the scriptures of Moses and the circumcision and the law. And first he points out, he says, none of you keep the law perfectly. Why are you coming after me? And Jesus actually did keep the law perfectly. He didn't sin, not even one time. But he's also pointing out, you circumcise on the Sabbath to follow the you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath, but I can't heal somebody on the Sabbath? Think of how twisted that is. And we're going to see this. This is going to continue to build. I'm just going to give you a kind of a precursor to the next couple chapters. And you'll see that the traditions of the Pharisees actually block them from seeing. Let us not do the same. Let's not get so stuck in our ways that we turn ourselves off to the new things that God wants to do in your life. Verse 25. I forgot my glasses today, so Jesus, take the wheel. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they're trying to kill? Here he is. They can't even agree on that, right? Here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word. Have they concluded that he's the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from. So they are misrepresenting a scripture in Malachi. Malachi 3:1 says that the Messiah will appear suddenly. Now, I don't know if they were expecting smoke and, this man, emerging from that. But Jesus did somewhat appear suddenly, but not in the way that they wanted. And I mean, I would venture to say that a carpenter becoming the Messiah is appearing pretty suddenly. But notice this too. Jesus's brothers said, hey, you want to be a public figure? Go in there. Jesus didn't need a grand entrance, but he did teach boldly when he got there. So don't be all flash and all start and get there and kick open the door and then have nothing to say. Jesus made his way in, and when he had the opportunity, he taught boldly. Let's be that way in our sharing of the faith, right? We don't need to kick down people's doors. We need to love on them, draw them to God, draw them to us through relationship, and then be bold about who we are in love. Amen? Okay. So then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me and you know where I'm from. I'm not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You don't know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd believed in him. They said, when the Messiah comes, he will perform more signs than this man. What he's doing is not good enough. And do we get like that with God sometimes? Like, right? The things he tries to do for us every day, it's not good enough, God. We're never content, right? I said it at Sound of Heaven recently. We need a resurgence of gratitude. And Jesus wasn't doing small things here. But you know, let's remember that even the good things that God does for us today, that's not all he's got. And a lot of times it's our gratitude, it's our thanksgiving, it's our humility that actually leads us to seeing more of what he can do in our life. All right, let's keep this going because we're nearing our 1% here. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent the temple guards to go arrest him. Jesus said, I am with you only for a short time, and then I go on to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. So the Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live, scattered among the Greeks, and teach the Greeks? That there was outlying, there was outlying communities of Jewish people outside of the actual promised land that lived there. So they thought maybe he would run and flee there. Obviously, that's not what happened. What did he mean when he said, you look for me and you will not find me, or where I am, you cannot come? Verse 37. On the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood there in a loud voice and said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Now, in Zechariah, it was prophesied that in that day, talking about the day of the Lord, a fountain will be opened for the house of David and Jerusalem for the sin and uncleanliness. So Jesus, if they're listening and they read the scriptures, they have to be hearing what he's saying. 39 clarifies, by this he meant the Spirit from those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. Remember, this is before the crucifixion. This is before the resurrection. Jesus, why he was so powerful and the kingdom manifested when everywhere he went was because God's Spirit was inside of him. In the book of Acts, at Pentecost, God's Holy Spirit comes onto the believers. And now we live in that reality 2,000 years later. The Holy Spirit lives inside all who those believe. It's what Jesus said to Nicodemus about being born of the Spirit. Verse 40, on hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is a prophet. Others said, he is the Messiah. Still others asked, how can the Messiah be from Galilee? There was a running joke that nothing good comes from Galilee. Verse 42, does not the scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus, people were divided because of Jesus. They had a misunderstanding of where he came from. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards replied, right? Jesus is different. This man is different. And of course, that didn't sit well with them. It says, you mean he has deceived you also? The Pharisees retorted. Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed in him? No, this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. Verse 50, Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier in John chapter 3, and who has one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? So he's saying, you haven't even confronted them. You haven't even followed the law to confront them. And they ignore what Nicodemus says, and they replied, are you from Galilee too? Again, throwing shade on Galilee. He says, look into it, and you'll find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. And actually, that's not true. Jonah, the prophet, came out of Galilee. So they're jacking up even their own scriptures and their own words. But the bottom line is this, is that when they didn't want to see the truth, they were blinded. And we could point to the rest of the world and say the same thing, but we have to be honest with ourselves. Do we really want the truth? Do we really want what is real? Because Jesus was doling out there what was real. And it was hard for some people to listen to. And that's my prayer for you today as we go into this day, is that God is different. God is real. And what supersedes everything in our life, all of our circumstances, all of our paradigms, all of our mindsets, is the power of God. His wisdom is not our wisdom. So let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we go into this day, we thank you that you have a greater wisdom than we have. We thank you that you're real. Father, we pray that as we go into this day, that you are more and more real every single day. And we thank you that you sent your son to die for us. And as we're seeing, you know, confront the traditions of men so that you can usher in an amazing, amazing walk that we can have with your spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Well, my name is Pastor J.D. Ambrosio. You are listening to The 1% Christian. Tomorrow, we start John chapter 8. I love you guys. I'll see you then.